Tell me about some of your early musical influences. Some of the people that shaped your sound before you started making your sound.
I think when I was a little kid, I remember hearing a lot of 70s rock. Not to say that was a big influence, but that was hearing a lot of, radio in the Midwest. It was a lot of 70s rock. And I remember being 6 years old, and there was a 13-year-old across the street who was really into Kiss, because they were blowing up. That must have been maybe 77 or something like that. So he introduced me to them, and that was a whole world of, in terms of being turned on to rock and roll. I think that was my first thing.
What do you think you liked about it at a young age? The showmanship of it all?
Probably the showmanship. Looking back, it was probably the showmanship, I can remember a couple melodies, but mainly just seeing how they looked on a record. It just was so over the top, and it was creepy and scary as a 6-year-old, but I was also drawn to it as well. Like, I couldn't, And at the time, that was also during the disco era, and my mom was really into disco. My dad wasn't into any type of pop music whatsoever. He was always into classical and jazz, mainly heard a lot of classical. So I remember hearing, my mom was playing stuff like the Bee Gees, and my dad was playing stuff like, I remember he got switched on Bach by, at the time, Walter Carlos, and I remember hearing those sounds and him explain to me what a Moog was and I thought those sounds were just really, never heard anything like that before. I remember thinking, wow, those are just the neatest sounds I've ever heard. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I liked it. And I think once I really got into music as a young kid was probably maybe 9 or 10, and hearing new wave and early hip-hop, like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, like The Message. I remember seeing that video for the first time, maybe 9 or 10 years old on late night TV, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing with the beats and the groove and the synthesizer riffs, and that just, it just blew my mind.
So you knew, like, pretty much early on that you were going to pursue music as a serious avenue, or did you think first that maybe it would just be like a hobby? And
I didn't know it when I was that young, but I knew I was really drawn to it. Any like type of piano or keyboard or guitar, I found myself just jumping on it and toying around with it at an early age. Like, my aunt had one of those organs with the, has the bass pedals and the two keyboards, and it makes the beats.
Oh, yeah. And you had, like, the big plastic switches from, like, one sound to another.
Yeah, and I found myself making recordings with a little mono tape player and just going to town for an afternoon over at my aunt's house and making these. I didn't know what I was playing, but it just happened to sound good to me. I didn't know what the notes were. I just liked how it sounded. I guess it just sort of grew from there. Once I got more into a teenager, I found my dad's old guitar, and I found myself collecting keyboards. And
did you teach yourself how to play all these instruments?
Yeah, over the years, just slowly. And I'm still learning,
Has your sound changed, like, since you've been doing Protostar? Have there been certain things that you've done, that you used to do musically, that you don't do anymore? Or maybe things that you're doing a lot more of now because you've gotten really good at it?
I guess the production side of it, definitely doing more of that. We've just built our own studio a couple years ago. We got to the point after spending money on studio time over the years, we've probably could have had 3 studios by now. I'm sure every musician can tell you what, you're under the gun, the clock, when there's like, 40 to 70 bucks an hour, or more. And we're just like, and then you're trying to explain to somebody how you want to sound, and they don't even know you.
Right. They're not familiar with your music and the quality of the sound that you're looking for.
Right. So it seemed it just came to the point where let's just do this ourselves. And so I find myself learning how to, just the production side, just learning how to get to those places where, you hear it in your head, but how you find yourself getting there is definitely... found myself learning much more about computers than I ever thought I would. I'm sure as most, you know, home producers do as well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost become, the computer's become another musical instrument that basically you have to learn how to use. If you're gonna, even if you're going to be a, you know, guy with a guitar act, you still need to know how to, at least on a basic level, you know, play that instrument.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure, you can say the same thing about, I mean, your electronic works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and it's funny.
The learning curve alone.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you can sort of start out, it's like you start out playing with it like it's a toy. And then you learn how, and then you figure out how to use it. And then you can't remember what it was like to just screw around with it because all the buttons suddenly mean something.
Right, yeah. It's not a toy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, you don't really do things by accident anymore, which is, and I think that's probably a struggle that all, you know, musicians come to, which is you want to do things by accident and go, wow, that's great. I got to incorporate that.
Yeah.
And with each new thing, you have to keep coming up with new happy accidents.
Yeah. Yeah. Or keeping your mind open to, is this a happy accident? Maybe it is.
Or did I just screw up?
Yeah. Or exactly. Yeah. Or is this utter failure?
Now, within the past year, Protostar has gotten some very favorable attention from some awards and some publications. Let's talk a little bit about that. What is the Inland Empire Weekly?
That is a magazine that just got started this summer, and it's in the same vein as like maybe the OC Weekly or the LA Weekly. It's like a zine of the arts, culture, politics of the area.
And they just sort of, they picked you out for, you guys were pick of the week, something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we heard that they were going to do that, so. You know, we send our stuff out all over, and, you know, obviously, like most musicians, you don't really expect any response, you know, but we were surprised that we actually did get a response. And
then you had also the SoCal Music Awards. And what was the category that they had you in?
Electronic rock. Electronic was what they, yeah. Which works, you know, it's like, it's always a hard answer to, a hard question to answer. But, well, what do you sound like? And it's like, oh, you know, and people, and in this culture of sound bites, you know, it's almost, the pressure's on, you know.
How do you explain that to people who are just becoming familiar with, you know, for the first time, and say, oh, well, what's Protostar like? I mean, do you say, oh, it's kind of like this band meets that band, or what are some of the expressions you use?
Yeah, I have a hard time picking, there's a lot of, so many bands that so much music that we're into, different kinds. So I try to just sum it up in a couple adjectives, like, you know, psychedelic pop, rocktronica, you know.
I think you said Metallica meets Erasure. It's like two opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
See
Yeah. Vince Clark and Kirk Hammett got together, or Lars and Vince got together.
I would totally buy that CD. I really would. Can I get it? Do you want to go into another live song?
Yeah.
No, I'm just having this lovely conversation, realize we're running out of time. So my guest is Protostar, and you're listening to Is Good, a special Tuesday edition on killradio.org. And if you didn't get a chance to hear this live, I mean, if you're listening now, obviously you're hearing it, but tell everyone that can be downloaded from isgoodmusic.com. It'll be up in a few hours from now.
Shades find silver lights. A moment gone, was I holding on? I don't know why you stayed tonight. Invention's night, your golden dawn. Storms from the ocean, shrouded in haze.
lost in your maze. An Arctic chill, the snow in me. A cryptic stare and I'm lost. The invitation's heat melting off my frost. Storms from the ocean shrouded in haze. Entangle in your moment. Lost in your maze.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Payne of Protostar. Tell me about Vesuvius Records. What is that?
I guess that is our own self-publishing label.
And that seems to be the new way to do things now, because a lot of bands are they grow weary of waiting for that magical label in the sky to come fetch them.
Yeah, that's kind of what we came to. I mean, we and with our first band, Pompeii Fire, this is back in '95. You know, I guess we just thought that was our only option in the middle of Iowa. You know, there's no there's no Capitol Records or you know, nearby or anything like that. I mean, there's Chicago, which we sent our stuff to, but we just thought might as well just publish it in our own name and do the best we can to, you know, distribute things, you know, locally in record shops and that was before any real internet. So that was you know, that was a bit of a struggle, but we did play a lot more, and we did get lucky enough to be with a distribution label who they also or in promotion they would put us into clubs in Chicago and around Iowa, Minnesota, those kind of areas, and that helped a lot. But as I said, I mean, that's kind of like you just. We just thought, well, no one's going to be coming to our rescue, like, or whatever dreams people
right.
have, like, oh, you make a record and, you know, some guy calls you up and like, you know, from California, New York, and boys, we want to fly you out here. You know, we got something big for you, you know, like with a big cigar or something like that, you know. I think a lot, I know we had sort of ideas and dreams like that when we were younger. And
but on the flip side, do you feel now that you have your own label, does that give you a sense of power and control over the future of Protostar that maybe you wouldn't have if you were picked up by someone else who said, okay, now you have to start making music that sounds like this or sounds like that?
Yeah, definitely. Like we definitely like not having to answer to, you don't have to answer to anybody. That is nice. Or having to fill a certain formula.
Why don't we have a listen to another track from another one of the CDs here? I just threw this one in. I don't know if that's a good choice, but
cool.
What do you recommend?
Track 8.
And tell me about this release. What is the CD I'm about to play?
Oh, this is, you're playing, I think this would be the song Sponge from the Dark Matter CD. And that's in our one package of two CDs. You could call it a double disc. I guess it is. Our idea behind it was they're really just two different CDs. You don't have to listen to them back or forth. There's no, you know, they're really just two different albums. We just found ourselves at a place where, like,
they're just finished at the same time, and you couldn't hold on to one and let the other one go.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get these songs off the shelf instead of making two different CDs at the same time. Just, you know, we kind of packaged them as one, which is a bold move for an independent band, let alone even just, you know, even the Beatles got flack for the
right.
White Album, you know.
Right.
So we figured, you know, we're going to get. It's a lot of information, but there's no pressure to listen to both of them at the same time.
Where can people get this? Not that they have to listen to it. I'm just...
Yeah, right. That's right.
This is one of the CDs that's available from CD Baby and right. iTunes and mm-hmm. everywhere else you would possibly yeah. buy independent music.
Yep.
All right, good. My guest is Protostar on Is Good on killradio.org. Sounds like this.
The savvy locks of a cheap thrill, the empty meal in a pill, find the lure in a fake smile, a crazy horse for a while. When to start the charge, where's your face at large? And the primal scream from a primordial.
And we're back with Pain of Protostar on Is Good on killradio.org. Are there some sounds in the electronic element of your music? Are there some sounds that you find yourself consistently coming back to? You know, like some electronic acts, they like to use a lot of, you know, a lot of hall effects or a lot of distortion. Are there certain kinds of beats or certain kinds of synth loops that you particularly respond to?
I don't know. I guess it depends on my mood. You know, I'm kind of some people would say, you know, some of the Protostar records or some of the earlier stuff, you know, maybe I'm a little schizophrenic sometimes, you know, because sometimes we find ourselves genre hopping without really meaning to, you know, something with more bossa nova edge or more with a 60s rock kind of edge or, you know, some more maybe with a electro sort of a feel or, you know, I like messing with all types of loops, you know, I guess if it's the feel is there, if it's, you know, a good funky beat, or just a good tight beat or bass line. I guess I don't really care what the tonality is, you know. I like mixing it up a lot. I like maybe trying to avoid. I find myself knowing what I know what I don't want to do. You know, I know what I want to avoid.
So what's an example of something you don't want to do?
I set myself up for that one. I guess sometimes the 80s resurgence of music, which has been really cool in a lot of ways. People revisiting that sound, and growing up in that age, I've found that sometimes we've sounded like that as well. I'm sorry, currently I'm just trying to avoid sounding anything like the 80s.
You don't want to sound like you're just going with the trend?
With our new... I feel like I've done enough, and there's a lot of Protostar songs that definitely have an 80s influence. I mean, and I think at this point I don't really feel like need to do that, or I don't have any gumption, you know, to do that. And there's a lot of people doing great things with that influence, you know. And so I'm trying to, you know, I guess a lot of people are just trying to look forward and hopefully discover something new by mixing it up.
Do you have any predictions for the future of Protostar? Are there any things you want to accomplish within the next year or so?
Like I said, next year we'll have several releases. There should be a new Protostar record. There should be a new Robbie Reverb record.
And Robbie Reverb, that's an alias, that's a side project from Protostar.
Mm-hmm. And which is very electronic beat oriented. And we're also, right now I'm recording Chase Frank. She does a guitar, one woman guitar orchestra type of thing. It's very guitar, atmospherics, guitar driven thing. And right now I'm with her in the studio helping her record her record. So I think, you know, in the next year we're just going to be busy mainly just keeping on. You know?
Ed, do you see, I mean, does Protostar take up all of your time right now, or are you doing this separate? Do you also have a day job? Like, or
most of the time in the studio I do work off and on, which is nice. I have different projects going on in terms of like recording other people or doing a little graphic design, or, you know, in fact, I do a little substituting a couple days out of the month, you know, but mostly I'm in the studio. I mean, most of the time you can catch me. I'm usually in the studio doing something.
I sell heroin to support my lifestyle. No, it's
That's
not
very
true.
Lucrative.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not true. I would like to get one more live song out of you if I can. We're a little bit over time, but I want to hear you play some more because I'm enjoying it, and it's my show. I can do that. And then we'll talk about where people can go see Protostar live. You have a couple of shows coming up soon. So,
all right.
My guest is Protostar. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. What's this song called?
This is from the Wanderlust record. It's called Revolve.
All right, let's do it.
How could I be a little sun in your sky. Warm days to make your garden grow. The birds will fly, the bees will pollinate, spending afternoons on grass. I wouldn't mind, I wouldn't mind, I wouldn't mind revolving with you. How could I be a Formula One on your track? How many laps to your checkered flag? The engine's revved, the spinning wheels are burning, but it's you who's fueling. I wouldn't mind, I wouldn't mind, could I be your satellite in orbit? All we do is spin and feel light. The galaxy, the expanding universe, dimensions far beyond space-time. I wouldn't mind revolving with you.
The trick ending, that's what I call that. Where you suddenly spring the end of a song on someone. I love that. Let's talk about where people can go see Protostar.
We're playing in Riverside this Thursday at the Vibe. It's for the Inland Empire Music Awards showcase. I guess they're starting that, which is with the same people who do the Southern California Music Awards, which is coordinated by Martin Brown, who... I should say this because his real passion, aside from promoting musicians and exposing musicians and exposing himself, I'm just kidding. he's a wonderful man, and what he's behind is, it's called Right to Rock, and what it does is promotes awareness and raises money for many schools who don't have music programs, and it gets them money for instruments.
It's raising money through submission fees for bands seeking consideration in the awards.
Right, and all the sponsorship behind that, it helps with that, and it sounds like it's done a lot of good, especially in every child left behind, you know.
No child's behind left.
right. Yeah, there's just not enough money for music programs, and this is really the real reason behind these things. And so, I mean, we're just happy to be a part of that and help spread that word, because I was lucky enough that we had programs growing up in school. I was in music programs, but, you know, coming to Southern California and some of the schools I've seen, I mean, you know, aside from no PE, just no music at all to turn kids on to, or to show that maybe they don't even know that they may or may not have an affinity for music or playing music or learning.
Plus,
music.
People, I mean, probably really, really underestimate the impact that, you know, having music classes as a kid or just exposure to different kinds of music, even if that
yes.
that person doesn't even ever get involved in music, just having been exposed to it at a young age
absolutely
affects your development, you know, the yeah. way you think about things, the way you learn math, I'm sure, is somehow affected by whether or not you've ever had musical classes. Absolutely.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen.
And it does seem to be disappearing, like, more and more every day. It makes yeah. me feel old, too. Like, I know that there are programs that I benefited from when I was a kid that just, they don't exist at all anymore.
Yeah, 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 and it's sad. So it's nice that something, it's nice to be a part of something like that, you know.
Well, it's a great, it's a completely functional fundraiser, too, because it raises money for something music-related, and at the same time, doesn't just take money from artists. It sort of gives something back to the artists who are participating by bestowing them with these awards and doing these showcases.
Sure, and the exposure alone is priceless, you know, for the musicians, and so everybody seems to win, you know. So being a part of that, there's a larger thing than just, it's not just a narcissistic musician thing.
Yeah, it's not like the Oscars where so much of rich people get together and pat each other on the back.
Right.
We are so wonderful.
Yeah. Which made me feel better, at least there's some a higher consciousness going on with those things. And we're going to be at Soul Art in Santa Ana. It's an art gallery, really swanky. And everybody's invited. I think it's maybe $2 or $3 to get in. And we're playing Saturday night in Soul Art. There should be a website for that with Azalea Snail and Chase Frank and DJ Almighty Nectar, who is a very funky DJ. So, and there's wine, and it's like a really, really laid back gallery. And so you're surrounded by art, and there's music, and.
When Protostar goes to do a show, do you think about that? Think about the environment? Like, okay, let's not do this song because it's not going to be appreciated in this environment?
We keep that in mind, yeah. I mean, there are certain... Yeah, we do keep that in mind. There's been a couple shows that are sort of... there's going to be more family or kids there. Not usually, but... our songs are pretty... lyrically pretty PG, but, you know, there's a couple F-words... here and there, and I one side of me doesn't want to have to change for the audience, but it's like you see those cute little kids, and I just don't have
you
the
can't heart. Say FCC I, in I front
just,
of them.
I just don't have the heart to yeah.
Well, great, Protostar Payne. Thank you so much for coming in and
thank
sharing
you,
your music, and everybody should go check out Protostar. That's with two R's at the end. .com as well as myspace.com/protostar. I'm just going to throw on a random track to say farewell with, and good luck with your upcoming gigs.
Thank you. And, you too.
When are we expecting the new album? You see, working on now.
Early next year. We're right. Mixing it right now.
Well, we're looking forward to it. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.